Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Joel Coleman of Sports Illustrated's Cowbell Corner, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Joel T. Coleman joining you here on a Friday morning. Glad we're starting off your weekend here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Joel, you still doing the Strange Brew at home thing right now?
I am, but you know, I have had, I'm now down to two. Three Brew Me Fords, Brew It Fords, Brew Me Fords.
Oh, that could carry you.
Over at Strange Brew, I've started to work my way through those. Thank you to all you kind folks out there.
You can't go wrong.
And I've got Strange Brew on the east side of town, Strange Brew at my house on the west side of town. Wherever I go, I brew.
Wherever you go, there you brew. There it is. Well, that's good stuff. And, of course, let's not forget about our good friends over at Churn and Spoon. Valentine's Day. Hey, it's just about a month away, guys, and you know what that means. You got to take some care of your lady. I'm just saying, an ice cream cake. You could do a lot worse. Nobody ever shot a man who was giving them an ice cream cake. Is what I'm just saying.
I haven't researched that, but I'm going to go ahead and confirm it.
It feels like it's solid in its premise. So, avoid getting shot this Valentine's Day. Go to Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Our good friends at College Corner know that right now is the time for you to start. Hey, we got some news today that the SEC baseball schedule looks like it's going to proceed as normal, which means we're not too far away from the first pitch at Diddy Noble Field. If you're going to be there in a brand new M over S maroon and white gear. College Corner can take care of that for you. Two locations in the Jackson area serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Do it today. Get yourself some brand new maroon and white gear. This time of year, it's just getting started. Your business is about to take off if you give a phone call to Advantage Business Systems. Let's upgrade your technology. And it's the year 2021. Why do you still have technology from 2001? Why are you still using the same computers and the same document management software and email solutions? It's a new era of business. Get involved with it with Advantage Business Systems. Call them today and find out how they can put their expertise to work for you. That number is 844-833-6245. Or visit them online at absms.com and find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Joel T.
Woo!
Not a lot to talk about today. Let's start with this basketball game. This is a big game. Mississippi State versus Vanderbilt on the road, 12 o'clock noon tip for the Bulldogs and the Commodores. Vanderbilt's such an interesting thing. Used to be really good. Like, year in, year out, you could sort of count on Vanderbilt to be near the top of the SEC. And now for like the past 5 years, they've been the worst team in the conference.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they're 4-4 right now. Beyond Scottie Pippen Jr., there's not a whole lot on this basketball team. Now, he is really, really good. He's averaging 22 points a game. He's their leading assist man. He's their leading steals man, shooting 46% from the field, 37% for three, 81% from the line. I mean, it's not a surprise. Obviously, the genes are good.
They kind of sound a little bit like, when you put it that way, like, they're not very good, but he is.
Yeah.
A little bit like Ole Miss with Brian Tyree in the
Something
past.
Like that.
Like, if he has the big night, you're in loads of trouble.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, you're probably in good shape.
Yeah. Brian Tyree, of course, had plenty of good nights against Mississippi State. I don't think anybody's more happy to see Brian Tyree not at Ole Miss anymore than Ben Howland. I may ask him about that. Like, Coach, how pleased are you that Brian Tyree's not there anymore? But this Vandy team, I mean, they're just not very impressive on paper. You know, they've lost some games this year. They've lost to Richmond, to Davidson by 20 points, and they're 0-2 to start off a conference play. Although they did get they had Kentucky on the ropes a little bit. They just couldn't put them away. Sort of the same thing as Mississippi State, and then they lose on Tuesday, 77-74. That's only their second conference game because they are not part of the Big 12 challenge. So they are behind where Mississippi State and others are. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. You know, the process of rolling the ball back up the hill has started for Mississippi State. They got a good push Tuesday night against Missouri. This feels like an opportunity to get another good one here. If they're 3-1 after four games in the conference, that's not anywhere you and I would have had them back in November.
No, not at all. I go back to what I said when this team was 3-3, and you asked me where I was on them, and I told you that I know they're 3-3, but I think they're better than I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've seen nothing that makes me think otherwise. They really, they're what, 7-4 overall now? Is that right?
4-4.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking State here.
Yeah, State.
State 7-4 overall now, and really could make an argument. And I know you can play this game multiple different ways. I get it. But you can make an argument they could have won every game except for the Liberty game, right, where Liberty's just shooting 90% from three-point range. I know it wasn't 90%, but it was very high.
Something like that, yeah.
And so it's a really good basketball team that every single time they go out, they have a chance to win. Mississippi State has really impressed me with what they are right now. And they go up to Vanderbilt, and they have what really is maybe one of the more talented backcourts in the SEC with the way Iverson and DJ Stewart have played. And then if Tolu Smith comes back around to how he was playing during non-conference play, I mean, State can beat anyone. They really can. And so, yeah, Vanderbilt, you now have another opportunity. You have a good chance, you feel like, to get that ball closer and closer back to the top and try and build some momentum inside your program and get the fans excited again and things of that nature. But, yeah, I kind of like where Mississippi State is right now. You kind of kick yourself a little bit because you feel like you should be 3-0 in the conference, given the Kentucky thing, but
yeah.
You would have sure taken 2-1 in your first three if you'd been offered that prior to the Georgia game, and here you are.
And so now, you know, you play Vanderbilt on the road. It feels like a winnable game, which is, you know, can sometimes be a trap for Mississippi State, you know, these past couple of years under Ben Howland. But I feel like pretty confident State's going to walk away with the win. And then it's just sort of what we talked about the other day that, you know, it's just, you know, two more games before you play Ole Miss, split them, you know, Texas A&M and Florida, split them. They're both at home. You should have an opportunity to win. But if you could split them after winning this game, you got your next chance to go over the hill with Ole Miss. Let's look a little bit back at Tuesday night. And, you know, no Javion Davis, I thought was interesting. Howland had to go a little bit more to a three-guard lineup. I thought it was very successful. And honestly, that strikes me as the kind of attack Mississippi State should be using, because that's where their strength is, I think.
Yeah. Well, they talk all the time about stretching the floor out and things of that nature. I mean, you allow your shooters to shoot, I guess, a little more. And you're going to see a lot more of that over the next couple games with Davis out, I think. So, the key here is I think you've seen a little bit of growth out of Davon Smith, so you're able to do that.
Yeah.
Early in the year, he was not an offensive threat at all. But since Georgia,
early in the year, my first thought was like he looks like a more polished Gary Irvin. He's just going to pass. He can drive, but you're not going to get much out of him offensively. These past couple of games, you've seen some offensive, especially the Georgia game.
Yeah.
You've seen some offense out of him.
Yeah, you see. Maybe not superstar, but you see potential there,
yeah,
where he can do multiple things for you, so you feel comfortable doing it, is what I'm trying to say. He is he's played well. Cam Matthews has played well off the bench.
Yeah.
I know it's not really building on the three-guard lineup that you were talking about a minute ago.
He's a guy who can play the three, though.
Yeah.
He's definitely not a true four or anything like that, and he can handle a little bit. He can bring the ball up the court. He just needs to get better as a shooter. We talked about Smith and his offensive game evolving a little bit. Matthews is another guy that needs to evolve his game a little bit more, too.
Yeah. But you just feel like as this season goes on, those two in particular, Smith and Matthews, are going to get better and better. And I think the rest of State's guys are really solid. I mean, we all know Abdul Dude's one of the best defenders in the conference. Tolu Smith, he is more than filling up his end of the bargain. You know, you and I talked about who can replace the production of Perry and Woodard he's coming in this year. He's sure pulling his share of the weight, and Stewart and Molinar are combined helping carry the rest of it a little bit. I mean, State's really doing what they needed to do to have, I guess, I don't know what the ceiling of this season was coming in. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't know if tournament, if that's a realistic option or not for this team coming into the year or not. But anyway, they're doing what they need to do to reach the peak of what this season can be for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That this team might be playing at its ceiling right now. This might be as good as this team is capable of playing, especially the second half against Missouri. I don't see how they can play much better than that. Matthews is such an interesting guy, too. What was the comment I made? Could be the new Brandon Vincent.
Yeah.
He's just all defense and rebounding. Any points you get out of him are just that. But you know what, though? We make that joke, but State's been looking for that guy since Brandon Vincent left in 2004. A glue guy, defensive stopper, physical presence, does the dirty work, and then can get you the occasional garbage bucket. State just hasn't had that guy very much. They had Rockquest Johnson for a little bit, you know, but they haven't had that guy. And I think that guy is important to being a successful basketball team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you have – I feel like you hear all the time about guys coming off the bench that are instant offense,
mm-hmm.
and you don't ever hear enough about guys that come off can just be instant defense or
yeah.
And he could absolutely be one of those type players.
He had a couple steals within a few minutes of coming in on Tuesday night. I mean, yeah, you're not. That's an interesting point. Instant defense is something you never hear that. It's like kilter, you never hear it. It's like juvenated. And then you know the stars on this team: Molinar, Stewart, and you've already mentioned Tolu Smith. They're playing at the right levels. You know, this is where you want those guys. You want them playing. I mean, Molinar. It's probably playing above what we thought, but Stewart is where we thought he would be, and Tolu Smith is sort of where we said he needed to be. It's an interesting thing that, like, I don't think we would have predicted that they were doing what they're doing, but they're doing what Mississippi State needs them to do.
The only player that maybe is playing below what I expected, and it's my own fault probably, because mm-hmm. he's a true freshman, I don't know what I...
Smith.
Davon. And he's starting to get to the point to where it's not so much that. But coming into the year, I think I kind of personally probably put too much on him. Like, he needed to be come in and be superstar from day one kind of thing for this team to be at its best. And that probably wasn't fair to think that he would do that. I mean, he's a good player, what, four-star
yeah.
guy, but to expect
highly
him...
rated guy, yeah.
I don't know if it was fair to expect what I was expecting out of him coming into the year. So yeah. That's more on me than on him.
Yeah, I never know what to expect from. Let's put it like this: in football, if you're a high four-star guy, you're still probably a really, really good. You're probably an instant impact kind of guy, and you can be a star, you know. But in basketball, you know, the five-star guys are the guys who are going to be, you know, NBA guys. They're for sure lottery pick, almost NBA guys, or at least that's their talent level. And then once you get into the four stars, it's just different, you know. There are some four stars that never do anything, and Mississippi State recruited a whole bunch of them. You know, Schneider Harrard was the highest rated guy in that class a few years back. Mario Kegler, you know, I can't even remember his name. Eli, what was his last name?
Eli,
wasn't that his first name?
I'm gonna be
a guard. He transferred to St. John's.
Oh Lord, I'm gonna be dumb here.
Oh, you're gonna make me look it up. I mean,
I could look it up. I've got a device too today.
I mean, what was his name? I gotta know the answer now. Let's see here. Cause that's Howland's first class. So the next year, here we go. Any second, Wright, Eli Wright.
Hey, yeah, there we go.
Okay, I was like, I knew his name was Eli. Yeah, look, look at this class. The top three guys were Schneider.
Gosh, I mean, it just goes to show how irrelevant he was here.
Yeah. Schneider Harrard, Mario Kegler, and Eli Wright ranked. They were high four-star guys. Not these aren't, you know, like when you look at football for recruiting, like a 91, 92, 98, 97, 96. I mean,
I will say with Kegler, saw some flashes out of Kegler.
Well, Kegler had some off the court issues for sure. Harrard, though, I mean, never did anything, and he was rated as the number 47 player in the country. coming out of high school. Eli Wright was the number 80 player in the country out of high school. The best players out of that class were the next three, Tyson Carter, Lamar Peters, and Abdul Adu. All four stars themselves, but at least they lived up to it. By the way, that class is just... State signed that class, people were like, they're going to be back in the Final Four in 2 years, and that didn't happen. But anyway...
I can't believe you and I, neither one could think of who Eli Wright
was. I mean, but you made the point. Like, that's how irrelevant he was to Mississippi State. So... With Smith, you know, Smith is in that same sort of area that Kegler and Wright were in, I think. I think he's like in the top 100 players. But so far, so good for him. You know, and State's not asking him. Maybe that's part of the difference is State wanted those guys to come in and be immediate contributors because they didn't have anybody. You know, they had lost Ware and Thomas and Sword and Rockwes, or not Rockwes, Travis Daniels and all those guys. And Malik was gone. They don't have to do that with Davon Smith. So, you know, that's probably a huge boost to him that it's not, they're not putting the kind of pressure of, oh, go out there and win us the game, true freshman. You know, you've got guys around you. And then DJ Stewart, to me, has been, you know, I spent the first couple weeks talking about him, like, I don't know if he's ready to be the guy. He's ready to be the guy.
Yep. He really is. And Molinar is ready to be it with him. I mean, those two, man, they have been something else. I mean,
Did you go back and rewatch the highlights from the Missouri game?
I have not. No.
You should go back and watch this for one reason, because just to hear the noises that Damian Fishback was making while this run was going on, every time I was like, "Ooh, oh!" And he made a comment. He said, "When you know Stewart, after he had hit a bunch of shots, then Molinar hits one. He says Batman and Robin is in full effect right now." And I was like, "That's sort of what we got here. But the thing is." Either one of them can take the cowl. Yeah. I mean, either one of them can be Batman on the given night. And then you got Tolu Smith, who's just sort of, you know, see the Red Hood, I guess. I don't know. But keep the analogy going. But he's doing the dirty work. I mean, he's basically getting you a double-double almost every night out. So I'm sort of on board with you that this team is better than their record is, but they've got to find a way to win some more games. They need in these next three games to go 2-1 and then to beat Ole Miss. And at that point, what would you be? Let's say if that happens, right? You would be 6-2 in the conference. At that point, if you drop a couple, nobody's going to be really surprised. You know, and those next two games, like we said, are at Tennessee and at Alabama. If you drop those two, everybody's like, okay, it's supposed to happen. And you just figure it out from there.
Yeah.
They got to win these next couple of games, though.
Yeah.
Starting Saturday. You got a player to watch?
To me, it's that front court duo. I mean, that back court duo again. I mean, it just Iverson and DJ. When they are on, and look, on, they don't have to do what they did in the second half against Missouri. That's just in fuego. You know, you can't expect that every time out, but... When they're as productive as they can be, man, teams are going to have a tough time beating those guys.
Yeah.
And then if they do that and you get anything out of Tolu, which he's proven that he's probably going to be a double digit. It's going to be somewhere around a double-double for you. I mean, this really is – it's tough to circle one guy on this team.
Yeah.
It really is an instance of where the – the sum of the parts thing, you know.
Yeah.
They're all pretty good. Any of them can beat you on any given night, and they really are a team.
Yeah.
I know that's so sports cliche, but
no,
it really does feel like everything kind of works together. So I don't know. Maybe like if you circle an X factor or something, maybe it's like Jalen Johnson, because if he goes out and gives you 15 or something, then you're probably blowing out whoever you play because everybody else has been somewhat consistent.
If you're almost guaranteed to win games, and I know the Kentucky game is an outlier to this, but well, no, it's not because Tolu Smith didn't have double digits. If those four guys are all in double digits, you're going to win. I mean, it just feels unless they're just all at 10, but it feels almost like it's a given at that point. If you get those four guys in double digits, you're going to win the basketball game. Tolu Smith is the guy for me. You know, Vanderbilt, not great down the post. Dylan Dissy has been pretty good this year. He's averaging 12 and 9 a game, but I feel like if anybody took anything from the Kentucky game, it was Tolu Smith, because he got pushed around, and he was much better against Missouri. And you know, Tillman's a good post player, and he held his own against him. So I feel like Tolu Smith is probably going to get good for another double double in this one. I'll take the Bulldogs to win. We'll see how that feels. Haven't done it all year, I don't think. We'll see how that feels. Yeah, I'll take State to win 75-65. Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah, that sounds about. You and I are right about the same point differential. I was going to say like 80-70 kind of deal. So yeah. It does feel like about a 10-point.
Yeah, it feels like State should win by double digits. I don't know what the line on this. They don't release those until day of the game. So, but that's where I am. All right, let's move on into football. That's brought to you by our good friends over at Welcome Home Beef, who want to remind you that, you know, if you've got something you want to cook and it came from the cow, well, buddy, they got you taken care of over there. I mean, it's really been something, by the way, for me. You know, I was in Welcome Home Beef when they first brought this sponsorship with us. You know, I was in there and they had the one room, and it was basically just like they had a desk. And, you know, you knew there was a cooler in the back, but that was really all they had. Go in there now. Yeah. And it's, you know, big coolers, like a little full of steak.
Mini grocery store kind of feel.
Basically, it feels like a real butcher shop in there. And then, you know, they're just continuing to add stuff. They've got the food truck. They've got the ready meals. It's been fun to watch them grow. You guys have been a big part of that through us here at Thunder and Lightning. We appreciate that. And Welcome Home Beef appreciates you. So, appreciate it. Let's all appreciate each other with the gift of meat. Go up there today. Call them today. Go to the website and get yourself some locally sourced grain-fed beef. The best steak you'll ever have. I promise you that. Call them today at 662-268-8148 or visit them online at welcomehomebeef.com. Whatever you're going to grab from them, I promise you one thing.
It just tastes good.
All right, so no more news on the Zach Arnett front, but I will say this, Joel. South Carolina was here in Starkville to talk to him. He's on the Texas hot board. He's on the Notre Dame hot board. It feels sort of inevitable, right? It feels like there's just too many nets for him to pass through.
And then if Texas hires somebody and takes somebody away from some other big program, then that one, he's probably going to be on their hot board.
I will say this, that the hot rumor for Texas is that they might get Pete Golding from Alabama. I don't think that would work because Saban's not going 3-3-5.
Yeah.
And he's already got Charlie Strong on as one of his analysts. So you just bump him on. So that might be the way State gets out of this. What State needs to happen is this. This is the chain of events. They need Marcus Freeman to take the Notre Dame job over the LSU job, which is, you know, I would take the LSU job for two reasons. One, you're going to get a bigger salary from Freeman.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. It's all money. I'm going to get a bigger salary to start, and I'm going to get a big buyout when they fire Orgeron and everybody else next year. And then I can just go right back into the pool and find another job.
Yeah, the only thing there is you don't know what his personal situation is. Does he want to get to a spot where there is
some level
of... I would
tell my wife, we're not even moving. You stay here, I'll just go rent an apartment. Just keep the house. We'll see what happens.
Saw how that endeared Peter Sermon to everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, I would go in there and say, like, if we're here in 2 years, we'll bring the family down. So, but it feels like, you know, Freeman, you know, if he chooses Notre Dame and then Texas goes with Golding... Or anybody else, I don't know, then that's where State's going to end up. Looking around the potential candidates, Don Brown's off the board. He's gone in Arizona. Derek Mason's off the board. He's headed to Auburn. What a weird situation for Auburn, by the way. Great defensive coach hire. Love Mason. Mike Bobo? What? This is one of those things, right? This is one of the things that make you go, what is it? There are only a couple of things a college football coach can do to stop getting jobs, and they all tend to either involve like crime or racism. That's it. Anything else, and you can come back from it. Mike Bobo, here's what Mike Bobo did. He installed an offense that was terrible. He basically ran off a 4-star productive quarterback because he wanted to play with his guy. And then he commits to Shane Beamer like, yeah, I'll stay another year, and nope, I'm going to Auburn. Oh, and by the way, he may cost South Carolina their 5-star quarterback recruit because he may want to go play. I don't know if that kid should be 5 stars or not, to be totally honest. Like, there should be like a question on the 5-star questionnaire. Do you consider Mike Bobo a good coach and a good offensive coordinator? If they check yes, 4 stars. You take a star off right there. But Mike Bobo headed to Auburn. I just, whatever. LSU, Notre Dame, Texas still open. Looks like Grantham's going to survive at Florida, which I would not have guessed a couple of weeks ago. Would not have guessed that.
Neither would I.
They fired two coaches, including Ron English, who was here for a season. But it looks like Grantham will survive. I, I'm amazed.
How quickly do you think all this kind of gets settled? I mean, you got the next signing day coming up, but I don't know if it matters anymore. Doesn't because really you matter. Don't have much yeah. left to feel anyway.
The other thing to watch is Tennessee. Because yeah. if you were paying attention today, Tennessee instituted a hiring freeze, so they can't hire any new assistant coaches. A hiring freeze.
Lowercase F for now.
Lowercase F for hiring freeze. That could be coming uppercase F very soon. But you get the feeling that they are at this point, it's like you just showed up at Jeremy Pruitt's house with some boxes and go, hey, just brought you some boxes in case you want to put stuff in them and put them on this truck and drive away and never come back. That's what it feels like at Tennessee. Like they've done everything but like, you know, show up and put a for sale sign in his house at this point. But if that would be another, you know, and Pruitt, at that point, Pruitt goes on the market. And again, I don't think Pruitt's a good head coach, but if Arnett were to leave, I would definitely call Jeremy Pruitt and be like, you want to be in Mississippi State? And he did at one point. Just wanted to be the head man. But no new news, though. That's a lot of talking to tell you that there's no update. Unless yeah, Joel has some sources I don't know about.
I mean, I don't, other than just, I mean, it is a, what's the key phrase? It's a fluid situation. You know, things are changing. Things could happen at any moment, I guess. But there's just so much smoke, man. That's what I take away from all of it, is there's just everywhere you look, apparently there's someone interested in Arnett. And so that's not to say that he won't still be here. It's just to say there are lots of threats for him not to be here.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you were putting odds on it, as time goes on, his name keeps getting mentioned all these places. I mean, it seems like the odds are getting less and less that he's back.
It's definitely going to be a situation. It's for sure that even if he survived this and he's come back for one more year, that's going to be the end of that. I mean,
and that said, like, there'll be some people, if he leaves, that'll be upset at him about the whole deal. You can't be upset at a man for
taking better jobs.
If he takes a better job and takes more pay, guess what? All of you listening
would
probably take a better job for more pay. I mean,
Exactly. It's if you're an assistant, if your assistant coaches aren't getting poached, you've got bad assistant coaches.
Yes.
Simple.
And you probably have a bad team.
Yeah. There's a reason Woody McCorvey was on staff from day one to the end for Sylvester Croom. You know, it's just simple as that. You know, look at the guys who did get poached. Stan Drayton. Freddie Kitchens ended up being an NFL head coach. Brick Haley has had good jobs since then. I mean, the good coaches got poached quickly. The rest did not. One of the guys who will not be at Mississippi State next year, though, is Marquise Spencer. He made it official. He's headed to the NFL draft. He of this big three, we'll call them, Thompson, Jones, Spencer, to me, he's the most NFL-likely guy.
It really does feel that way.
Cole Kubelik, big fan of Marquise Spencer, said he was voted him first team all SEC.
I mean, it's high praise.
Yeah.
He really has kind of – and I kind of feel like he'd ever got – I guess recognized as much as he should have. And part of that's his own doing because he didn't want to talk to the media.
He never spoke to the media. I don't know how he's going to do in interviews because I have never spoken to him.
There was one spring, I think it was like 2 years ago, where he did one interview.
Yeah. The other thing with him is, you know, he's just been overshadowed. You know, he came in the same class as Jeff Simmons. And so Simmons sort of had him for the first 3 years. Then he was injured last year. It's when he could have been a big star. And then, you know, this year... you know, has been good, but, you know, there was so much on Mike Leach and the offensive struggles, nobody was really paying attention to the defense. But Spencer was really, really good for Mississippi State. We'll see where he gets drafted. I assume he'll be the next guy on the DLU posters and graphics they like to put out. And then some other news being reported by Steve Robertson of Gene's Page, our good friend and host, that MSU offensive lineman and Alabama transfer Scott Lashley is planning to come back to Mississippi State. So that's good news. A guy who I think can help. You know, a guy who, in a run-first offense, looks like a really good right tackle. So in this offense, you got to figure he could slip inside and play at guard. He's got the long wingspan. And we talked about him yesterday. He's got to put some stuff on film.
Yeah.
And this will be a good opportunity for him to do that.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he didn't play just a ton when he was in Tuscaloosa and didn't play at all last year in Starkville. So
right.
You want to, you know, be a professional football player. It sure helps if you're able to show somebody something and say, hey, I can play football.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So, still waiting on official word from guys like Darian Parker, Greg Island, Kobe Jones himself. Haven't heard the official word from that. All three guys are expected to make their decision to go to the NFL. And then from that point on, you can start putting together that 2021 roster a little bit for Mississippi State. All right, Joel and I will be back with you Sunday, afternoon. No, I guess it'll definitely be in the evening because we will be recapping MSU Ole Miss women's basketball on Sunday, which I will be sort of paying attention to while I'm at the hump, while I'm also watching the Saints at the same time.
And the Bears.
The Bears are just sort of the victim in that situation, so I'm not that concerned with them. So we'll talk about that, and then, of course, a lot of stuff going on the next few weeks. Hopefully, by Monday, we'll have some clarity on what's happening with Zach Arnett. We'll have recruiting news, and, of course, anything else that pops up in the world of maroon and white.
And if it's before you hear from us again, you can always just go to cowbellcorner.com. And, in fact, even if nothing does happen, I still would like for you to go to cowbellcorner.com.
Just click it. That's all he asks.
And then you can go somewhere else.
Give Joel 25 seconds of your day. That's all.
No, it's really like just two. Just go and leave if you want to. But if you want to stick around and read some stuff.
Let's get one article clicked.
Okay, that's fine.
You don't have to read it. Just click it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you just want to click some other stuff, do that
too. Feel free. Guys, have a great weekend. First real weekend of the new year. And I will be back with you on Sunday night. For Joel T. Coleman, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.